The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Hello and welcome to Table Talk, our monthly program here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, in which we sit down with one of our local bishops. We're so glad that you're here with us today, and we welcome to the studios back again of AM 1260, His Grace Bishop Milan Lach, the Society of Jesus. Bishop is the Eparch of the Ruthenian Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. Bishop Milan, welcome back to The Rock.
Thank you so much.
Good to have you here. It's been since, I believe, end of last year, end of 2020, been some months since you have been here with us, so we're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
We have a lot to talk about today and share with our listeners here on AM 1260. And we always begin with your blessing and a prayer, if you would, please, Bishop.
Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, ever-present filling all things, treasure, blessing, giver of life, come and dwell within us, cleanse us of our stain, and save our souls, O gracious one. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, Bishop, we want to welcome you, as we said, back to The Rock and congratulate you. Recently, it was 20 years since you were ordained a priest of Jesus Christ, and we want to say congratulations on 20 years of faithful service.
Thank you so much.
Was there some special way that you remembered or prayed on this day, Bishop?
It's a time, really. It's a time to be grateful to Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, also for this vocation, because every time Lord is inviting us, and it's not our vocation, it's not my vocation, it's the Lord's vocation. And so this is I'm feeling always with really with respect, with humility, and also, you know, with gratitude that I can serve to Lord in this church.
I don't think we ever talked about this. How was it that you heard this call and answered the call?
Is it for one long, you know, speech and talking, but maybe shortly? Yes, I was as a small boy, as an altar boy, just I was altar boy for my 6 years when I was starting, you know, first grade. When you are close the altar, you have, you know, this occasion to reflect, to think about this. And when I was a teenager, also the example of the priest, also the example of my father as in family. Always, you know, this combined, also family. In family, we had, you know, a priest, a religious sister. So always, you know, the combination of all those, you know, to start to reflect how to serve, how to be useful, how is sense of my life. And all these combinations came, you know, in this moment. Again, it was during communism, yes. That on the end of seventh grade, I was just decided I want to be priest and to serve in church.
There's something about, you said, being close to the altar, the altar servers, particularly, yeah, Let's say, in the Eastern Catholic churches.
Yeah.
The altar servers have many duties. They're right there with the priest interacting. My grandsons, you know, having this experience now. There's something about being very close, like you said. It is an awesome thing. Now, not every young man or boy becomes a deacon or a priest, but like you said, some do because they're close to what is happening. And even when you're a young boy, I think you get a sense of what this is.
Yeah, it's something, you know, in area, in air, that you feel it, that really the space, you are listening, you know, not only that you are passive, you have to be active. As an altar boy has to be careful what is doing, what's happening. You can't sleep or dream there. You have to be always in attention and, you know, the careful because, yeah. And also, you know, it was for me, it was nice because also, you know, as Eastern liturgy, only singing, I loved to sing, you know, as of right now I am singing this morning when I celebrate Divine Liturgy. So it is something what you are not as a, you know, as a viewer, as a, you are a consumant, but you are active. You know, our life with Jesus is something active, that you are object of this, of love of God. And the liturgy as, a, you know, the expression of the mystery of the theology of the church, liturgy is giving also altar boys possibility, you know, be so close with all, you know, this what with all just what priests did with Word of God, with the homilies. You know, all this was created for me, really, this space that it attract me, you know, to make more, not in sense, you know, in physically, as you know, as a quantity, but go deeply with the Lord, with the relation with Jesus, through Word of God, through, you know, the services as a liturgy, you know, the all liturgical year, all, you know, this dynamic, what was from September, from when we starting liturgical year until end of August, you know, with all these feasts. Yes, and also, yes, our church, small church, so, you know, it was church, you know, transformed from house. We have not, because we have a diasporic parish. People came, you know, Ruthenians, people from mountains, they came for job, for work, better work, for job, for better farms, came, you know, down.
What was the name of this town, this city?
The name is Ljubica.
Ljubica.
Close to Kežmarok, close to High Tatras mountain.
Yes. We're grateful that you answered this call, and to all the priests and deacons and those who answer that small voice that's calling them. You know, like it's said in the scripture, it's not through the thunder or the noise or the earthquake. It's that small whisper, that voice, and answering it, not everyone does.
Yeah, you know, because you're right in this. I realized that amongst altar boys were more smart guys than myself. This is, you know, mystery also for me, that I'm asking why this Joseph, this my friend, 3 years old than me, right now they're living in Australia. He was so devout. He was so really smart. And also, you know, all conditions he had for, but why he say no, I don't know. We spoke, but I would like to ask him if he heard in his heart when he was small boy the vocation to priesthood. I would like to ask him this.
I think many, many men have experienced this, and it's a long process to discern. Not everyone, I would say, and I can speak from experience with many people, maybe we didn't even have the tools, the knowledge, how to discern to make the correct decision.
Yeah,
you know.
But all of this, what I wanted to say is, you know, the prayer of the parents and the many peoples. You know, that without prayer of others, also from this our parish community, is not possible, you know, to grow. So, and from this relatively small parish, can you imagine, we had 200 people. We have 4 priestly vocation and 1 religious nun.
You're listening to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Our guest is Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus. He is the Bishop of the Eparchy, the Byzantine Eparchy of Parma in the Cleveland area. Bishop, you did mention briefly your father and your family. We offer our deep sympathy to you on the passing of your father, Jan, who was 80 years old, died on the 25th of May back home in Slovakia. May his memory be eternal.
Thank you.
Vichnej pamyat. And tell us a little bit about your father and your family life, because you just said the life of the family and of the community is so important in vocations.
Yeah, you know, my father was simply man from Ruthenian, from mountains, Highlander. He has to work, hard work in the farm as a small boy. From 8 years, he started, you know, to really to just from small boy, you know, to work. And especially, you know, during the time of communism, when, you know, the communist asked the, you know, these small farmers to delete them, to liquidate them.
Yes.
You know, the enormous, you know, the contribution, what they have, you know, to give, you know, to state, eggs, milk, meat, potatoes, grain, etc. And it was, they were pushing them, you know, to make co-op as a cooperative kolkhoz. But there it was possible because it was practically mountains. You know, you are close to Tatras. High Tatras, you have not possible, you know, to have some, you know, some income from this as a collaborators together.
Yeah, history has proven that this idea of collectivism,
yeah,
especially in, yeah, it, they tried to collectivize the farms, and yeah, like you said, the kohols, in Eastern Europe, Russia, Soviet, a complete disaster and led to the misery of millions.
Right. So, and then this my daddy was, you know, he finished his school, 8th grade, because there, you know, in his village, no many guys and 8th grade, because they have to work.
That's the way it was, yeah.
Can you imagine, you know, so. And afterwards, he was in the, he started to work in the maybe season works, but afterwards, he was in the service, military service for 3 years, during this communism, during the Cuban crisis. It was, you know, 1 year extended. And after he married my mom and came to work as a, you know, the for cargo wagons to produce, you know, the industry. He built a house, and he was simply man in sense, but he had faith. And what I remember from my small years, as my young years, that first and what was, I prayed with him on knees, kneeling in the bedroom of parents, with all, you know, the prayers in Old Slavonic, Nachalo Obichnoye, so the beginning of this beginning's prayers, what we are praying, we are starting every service, you know, in tradition. From Tsaru Nebesi, from Heavenly King, until, you know, come let us bow to ship Lord Jesus. And it was, you know, something what daddy was who teach me prayer, not my mom. And I was a little bit, you know, as a, confused because, you know, every kids, other kids, you know, said, my mom is teaching me prayers. And I said, what is it, something mistaken, you know, that my daddy was taught me to do prayer? So I was confused in this period. But afterwards, yes, he was example for me for prayer, but also for life as a worker, as you know, to be honest to you, really, what we can do, save money, okay, but with honest the work of our hands. No, something, as you know, the tricky, you know, to something to do. No, so I...
Honest work.
Honest work.
Yeah.
Also, by his, you know, his faith was, you know, as I, you know, expressed in his... He wasn't a lot of speak as a speaking. He was man of act.
Example.
Example to working.
Yes.
You know, to working as a volunteer. When it came from work, you know, and make many, this, you know, one period he made, you know, for shifts. Morning, 1 week morning, 1 week afternoon, and 1 week night. So a couple of years. So it was this, you know, to take care of us for 4 boys, as you know, kids. So to house and to maintain, it was, I think, you know, something what really right now I'm realizing to keep and to maintain the family. And more, you know, other than this, his time to work, when he came from work, he rushed, you know, to go to church to help. Can you imagine? We are making reconstruction of the church during communism without permission of communists. They were upset with us, with our pastor. He's around Archbishop Babiak in Prešov. So why you don't ask, you know, permission? And these guys, after the work, they will work from 3 p.m. until maybe also 9 p.m. When was, you know, to reconstruct? All volunteer, no companies, no, you know, as a contractors. All our parishioners make, you know, the maybe some special works. Particular.
Ran to volunteer at the church.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw, you know, just from my father, you know, this volunteering for church, the loving the church. For example, he had offering as a job as a policeman after the military service because he was very faithful and they knew about him, but it was one condition. And he knew about this. He will be became, you know, policeman. He can never go officially into church.
So a policeman under the communism could not go into the church.
No. Yeah. So, and he chose, he said, I want to go to church. So he chose to, he refused, you know, this nice job, great job, sake of Jesus Christ of the faith. Can you imagine? So, and this is something what you know, it was, you know, example also for me.
Well, we've talked about this before on this program with you and with other bishops. When the father sets the example of the faith in the household, whether it's strongly and actively or through leading prayer or just taking the children and the family to church on even just on Sunday, the chances that those children remain faithful many, many times more than if it's just the mother. The mother always does her best. But if the father's example is there, the situation is completely different. Bishop, it sounds like you and your family are you are proving that.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's not only about me because from four of us, we are two priests.
Mm-hmm.
My younger brother is married priest. He was in Canada and Windsor 2 years, but he came back because sister-in-law has serious problems after COVID. So they have to come back in Slovakia. Yeah. So, and you know, and also this was, as you know, he was, you know, how to say, he loves us, but you know, this love was expressed in order and in, you know, in discipline. It wasn't something that, you know, we are watching, you know, the TV, evening movies, you know, it was appropriate scene on, you know, on in movie. He wake up without, you know, words. He came, you know, to TV, turn off. Everybody went to sleep. We don't need, you know, explanations or said, oh, why, daddy, what? For me, was nonverbal communication.
Yes.
I understood. What does it for him be moral? Moral values. What today is so in crisis, so in damage. We are just, you know, put in dubious, you know, the basic teachings of the Catholic Church is a shame. It's a shame. And afterwards, many kids ask me, you know, in school, it's true that your daddy is, you know, when some movie is going, you know, appropriate, you know, he's going, you know, you are going to all to sleep? I said, yes, it's true. Oh. So, mm-hmm. And it was, you know, and what I just, you know, appreciate, for me, it was normal. I never heard one time that he used, you know, some vulgar words.
Mm.
In house.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that in every house they had this. But afterwards I realized it wasn't, you know, the normal. Yeah. That he was, you know, controlling his, you know, even that he was upset, he wasn't saint. He has also many, 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 you know, poor parts, places of his life. He wasn't saint. But he want to become saint. You know, and this isn't nice. He was realizing that he's also this false, and you know, as we can say, but he really was, you know, to keep, you know, the word. And also what I want also to say, because it's connected with this priestly vocation, I never heard one time to complain about some priest. No one time. He knew that many priests have, you know, the, you know, weak points. It was respect.
Respect for the priesthood.
For a priest. Because he knew that for 18 years our church, you know, in Czechoslovakia from 1950, 1968, we can celebrate, you know, in our Greek Catholic, as a Byzantine Catholic, you know, the church. I don't know, the people here in the United States, you have not imagined what does it mean. You know, 2 months we were closed church, so how is, you know, problem, you know, during the COVID? Can you imagine 18 years you can go, you know, in your church? Then, you know, the others, I have to say, you know, the Orthodox brothers, they were checked, you know, our churches, and they were dictated when will be possible after 1968, when it was just a little bit as acting, you know, the Greek Catholic Church in Czechoslovakia. Incredible. What does it mean, you know, to really to have respect? And also, as I mentioned many times, we knew that our bishops are in prison. Every from our believers, they knew about this. And they can, you know, go out. The communists, they keep them, hold them, you know, in prison. So people were praying. And this was, you know, the witness of all, as we are speaking about fatherhood and family. So in church, you know, the bishop was example. Enough, one signature to go to directly to be patriarch of the Orthodox Church in Czechoslovakia. Blessed Bishop Gojdič. But he said, my faith is not for selling. I appreciate my faith and my Catholic Church. So this is my father, what I maybe, you know, shortly, you know, to say, and really, really, he was for me example, and I mentioned also on the funeral that, you know, that he make more after this, with this, you know, there's a reflection, he make more for me for, you know, my faith, and my relation to God, is my studies in Rome. I had wonderful time, you know, in Rome, 5 years, as you know, the Pontifical Institute Orientale. But really with this comparison, without this base in home, at house, truly many things understood also in Rome.
It's a universal idea, Bishop Milan, that the father is God made the father the head of the family.
And oh, yeah.
This
oh,
is,
yeah.
It's the natural order of things. And We thank God that you had a strong father.
Yeah, and, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that, you know, and I, for me, it was the best father that I can have. Thanks to God for him. God
upon his passing, Mr. Jan Lach, we say, may his memory be eternal. Blessed memory. You're listening to Table Talk on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Our guest, His Grace Bishop Milan Lach, and we'll return with more right after we take a brief break. Welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Dick Russ. Our producer and engineer is Dan Dealey, and our guest is His Grace Bishop Milan Lach of the Eparchy of Parma, the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. Bishop Milan, in our first part of our program, we were talking about his family, the passing of his father, his 20th year anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood. And, you know, Bishop, you last time I think we said you were here end of 2020. Still, coronavirus situation was pretty bad then. It looks now like we're coming out, mostly coming out. What's the word? How did everyone survive? Clergy, religious, the people in your parishes?
Yeah, this period was for everyone of us, I believe, you know, in all world, difficult, and also to say, and from point of view of faith, that I'm accepting, percepting, you know, this as a, you know, test of our faith. The Lord is testing, was testing, and still is testing our faith. Thanks to God that we re-entered the church, yes, from last May, not this May, but just last May, we had, you know, interrupted, you know, the services. Yes, people, you know, are going slowly. They are very careful with coming, especially elderly, even after vaccination. This is, for me, surprising. I spoke with some priest. But also, you know, it's showing us that we need more to do with catechesis for adults, people, to teach them the basic truth of the Catholic Church. I realizing this every time. Not only Holy Eucharist, yes, all the Eucharist, for example, but you know the Creed, Ten Commandments, the basic things. We need again and again, you know, to explain. So we are in Horizon, in our Horizons, the magazine, what we are right now publishing four times a year. We are going commandments after commandment to explain what does it mean. This is a point what is very, challenging every one of us in church as a clergy. How to, you know, to maybe also to think about these approaches to people. Yes, media. We use media live stream. Still are we live streaming. We see that is maybe some new period, new moment of also in Catholic Church to use more for as a your wonderful radio. We during the break we spoke about, you know, this evangelization. That we have to do it. You know, many people are hunger, you know, they're thirsty for Jesus, for peace, for, you know, sense of life. We are here for this. So this is a something what we need to maybe to think about is, yes, we have to more pray to Holy Spirit. What is telling us? What is telling us in our life and also in this situation? Yes, our clergy, thanks to God, nobody was as some seriously that nobody was died from priest. We had some, you know, some cases as a Father Marek, you know, my vicar general was seriously sick for COVID, for example, as what I knew one other priest was, as you know, in quarantine. So I have other, you know, the informations about other priests that will be seriously sick. Yes, nuns has, you know, in monastery in Bridegroom in Burton, Christ of Bridegroom Monastery, they have these, you know, these restricted rules. I ask them, please follow it. Also with people, they, you know, they didn't accept that, you know, in Pustinia, the guest, you know, it was difficult also for them from one side, but from other side, they could be more, you know, together as a community. Mm-hmm. It was also, so the COVID put also for many, you know, we can say also to see, Lord is giving us, you know, possibility to see also positive. But, you know, if God is giving us, you know, this situation, this moment, we have to always, as a Christian, to be smart and to ask, Lord, what do you want to tell me through this situation? No? And many, I think many of us could, you know, to discover many things in our spiritual life that we maybe need more prayer, maybe need, go to more in be silent, Maybe once a moment, maybe you know a little bit also maybe to, you know, to stop the media, what we have, you know, the Facebook, internet, Instagram, I don't know what else, you know, to find time for Lord. I'm telling every time, and I'm using, you know, right now, during the Holy Confessions, I'm encouraging, you know, the penitent to say, I'm asking them, are you reading the Bible? No, rare. Say, come on, read at least, you know, one chapter a day. And I'm asking them, 7 minutes. It's too much or no? And they said, oh, no, it's not too much. Okay, come on. So come on and read 7 minutes, you know, the Bible, especially Gospels, to know Jesus Christ. As a son, Jeronim, he said, who doesn't know Scripture doesn't know Christ. So, and is it true? We knew Jesus Christ. We know Jesus Christ through, you know, reading, to listening, Word of God. Because this Word of God is a power. He is Jesus Christ, Word of God. How we can meet Him? How we can, you know, to give Him answer in prayer if we have not, you know, this inspiration, this invitation, if we don't permit Him to speak to us? So this is, you know, the COVID from this my perspective that I see that, yes, this pastoral will be, I think, you know, different because, yes, some of parishes also were put in difficulties, also as an existential difficulty. So we will see how will we proceed also with this. And because also numbers of parishioners went down a lot of, you know, respect before the COVID. And when I made, you know, this research in the COVID. So
this is common everywhere, every church. The numbers went down, and then the people, like you said, are hesitant to come back for whatever reason. Some is understandable. I'm glad you mentioned about, can we find something redeeming from what we went through? It did force people to be together. Say families had to spend more time.
Oh, yeah.
How did you spend that time? What did we learn from a difficult situation? And because many people suffered losses. Someone died in the family and some close friends. And do we try to understand, or what is God telling us, and how can we find some good in God's will from this bad situation?
Yeah, this is, you know, the challenging, I think, all church, all Catholic church, in every state, you know, in every different cultures. We have to pray. We have to, you know, reflect and discern, as I'm speaking often Pope Francis, to make discernment what Lord wants from us. You know, this process of discernment, as I'm speaking St. Ignatius of Loyola in his retreats, exercises, how it's important, you know, to listen, Lord, to listen people, to pray, and on the end to make decision. Because we have to make decisions. Yes, many times, you know, these decisions are not easy and nor are not funny. Many decisions, what we have to do, as in every family, many times could be also painful. But on the end, is a solution, and also maybe to how to, you know, to go up, go out from crisis. No, because it's some type of crisis, all, you know, the situation. And Pope Francis, I was mentioning many times, from crisis we can live as a better or as a worse. And this is an occasion for us that really from this crisis of the COVID-19, we as a Christians, as a Catholics, with the help of Lord, we can live as a better for our spiritual health, for our salvation of our souls, for our, you know, eternal life, that, you know, we have not to, you know, to forget, you know, that before us, you know, this is this goal, eternal life. But don't forget, this eternal life is starting here and now, here, where we are speaking. Why we are speaking about this? Eternal life is here, is existing, and will have not end.
You're talking about difficult decisions, and your eparchy made one recently. That is still pending in Rome, and that was to consolidate three of your parishes here in the Cleveland area into one. It involved the closing of the Cathedral Parish in Parma, St. John
Baptist,
and then the closing of the Holy Spirit Parish on West 54th, merging all of them into the parish that's on State Road in Cleveland, just at the southern border of Cleveland, merging them all into one. Obviously, I can see by looking at you, it was a very difficult decision. One, you say you made in consultation and not quickly. I wonder what is the status of this?
Yeah, I have to say also that, you know, is a problem is also a little bit more complex. That the first, that we have not enough priests. I found this situation here, and during the 4 years, I'm not able, you know, to prepare the priest for a reason to substitute and to give the priest, yes? So, because as I hear, you know, on the west part of, east part of eparchy, Cleveland, Ohio, you know, region, that we have majority of parishes, it's one situation. But we have, you know, on the Midwest, new communities as a missions, we are more kids than adults, and I have to put also priests there. So to make, you know, this discernment, I spoke about this discernment, what is the more right now? If we have here 2 miles or maybe 3 miles each other, three parishes together, and the people is not as a lot of. And from other side, is we have missions, for example, in Omaha, Nebraska, where is necessary, you know, to travel from, for example, last parish what we have there, at least maybe 3 hours on highway. So they have once a month Divine Liturgy. Other 3 Sundays, they have typica, means, you know, the special service, as you know, liturgy award with distribution of Holy Communion, who is making deacon. But it's not Eucharist. It's not Holy Eucharist. The people, they have not, you know, possibility to go to Holy Confession. So this is the first, as a part of this complexity of, you know, the situation, the, you know, the priestly vocations. Other part is, you know, demographic. We have to be really realistic and to see, you know, how many, you know, these in communities, how much kids we have. You know, how much we have young families. And if you see, you know, in flock, the situation is also in Ukraine church, also in Roman Catholic church, and, you know, so we have to be realistic. And we see also for future, for, so, this demographic situation, what is that? And the third one is the economic situation. That also I have as a bishop, I have duty to really take care that, you know, or also, you know, this property needs, you know, the take care, the management, maintenance, and all this, you know, this stuff. I have to be really responsible before church, before my superiors, and also before people. And I have nothing, you know, to hidden, you know, to say. Everybody can to say, to go to see, to visit, you know, see to places. Believe me, you know, it's not easy for me make, you know, these decisions, as I mentioned before, that we were during communism persecuted, and we can, you know, to have, you know, open our churches as a property. And I came here, you know, United States, and in these new challenges to, you know, to really to make decisions, these consolidations. What did also Cleveland Diocese 10 years ago? 52 parishes consolidated. So we can be, as you know, to say only ourselves as a one cell. We have to, you know, watch our brother Jewish. Last time I spoke, you know, one Jewish guy here in Cleveland, they are consolidating, you know, the 2 synagogues as well. He told me, Bishop, we are decreasing. It's not something that we are inventing, that Bishop Lach came from Europe and is inventing. It's reality. And we have to be honest, also to people, but also to God and before God. And this is not something... I understand them. I understand these people with difficulties. They sacrifice, they financially, you know, their resources, their parents, they themselves to invest in this. But we always have to, you know, have in mind to realize the church is as a only the tool for salvation of our souls. That first what we have to build is, you know, this temple alive. They are our bodies and souls, as St. Paul is telling. So this is, as you know, priority for me also. And I will tell always, priority for me is the people. As you know, the spiritual life. Take care of them, sacramental life, catechesis, proclaiming the word of God, evangelization. This is what we need. It will be, you know, evangelized. Our children will be again, you know, will be full. But right now, it's the situation. We have to, you know, to ask ourselves, how is my heart? How is my life? How is my love? Really, people, as in Acts of Apostles, is St. Luke speaking. Really, I'm questioning also myself. We are really, you know, the sign of recognizing for people from outside that we love each other as a Christians, as a brothers. So every one of us has to give, you know, the answer himself. I didn't came, you know, here to moralize, to judge, but really, you know, to say what proclaim the word of God. If really it's characteristic for our life, Christian life, the love, mercy, the forgiveness. And this is something what we need to move, to change. I know it's tough, but with help of God, we can do it.
You're listening to Table Talk. Our guest, Bishop Milan Lach of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. You're on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and we're going to return with more right after this brief break. Welcome back to Table Talk. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. With us today in our studio, His Grace Bishop Milan Lach of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. Bishop, it was a few weeks ago that one of the great feasts in the Eastern Catholic Churches and in the West was celebrated. In the East, I know it's a holy day, the Feast of the Great Apostles Peter and Paul. Your reflections are part of our programming here on Sundays and on holy days. And just a couple minutes of the significance of those great saints, Peter and Paul.
Yeah, you know, for us in Catholic Church, as you know, is a obligation, also in Byzantine Catholic Church, why we celebrate, you know, this feast. I would like to maybe on the beginning to say that before this feast, St. Peter and Paul in Byzantine Catholic Church is one of the fourth of the fasting period. Why? All, you know, this remembering, recording, you know, the fasting for our body is remembering us, you know, this challenge and invitation of Lord, make repentance. That all our Christian life should be, you know, in this direction, to remind always ourselves and the church community to make repentance. The sin is something what is damaging us, what is, you know, to deleting us, you know, make evil. And so also, you know, between the Pentecost and the St. Peter of Paul is connection, thanks all this fasting time period, because after the begins this fasting period, of fasting in practice quite mile one, begins on the Monday, which follows on the first Sunday after Pentecost.
So you're right back from Pentecost into a fast.
Yeah, until to June 28th.
Till the feast.
Yeah. So this is, you know, what is important. As again, every period of fasting is a preparation time. Now to maybe reflect, who is, you know, this? Why, you know, church is giving so attention, more attention, you know, this feast, for example, concretely Peter and Paul, St. Peter and Paul. We can say, you know, that we can and we have, the church is exalting Peter and Paul as a two great lights of the church. We know why St. Peter, as a first among of 12 apostles. Peter was very important, also, you know, with his conversion as an example for us, because Peter is an example of, you know, we can follow our conversion, how he slowly, you know, recognized from, you know, from master through Lord, prophet, to Savior. You're reading, you know, for example, Luke, to follow, you know, these points, this his interior conversion, man, as an example for us. And on the end, we know that he was one who betrayed. Mm-hmm. It's not some popular that Lord, even Lord knew about this, that he will betray. And on the end, after resurrection, after he was making repentance, he asked him, Peter, do you love me? And this is a very important question for every one of us, because this is a basic relation between me and Jesus. Jesus asking me, you, everyone, Milan, do you love me? Dick, do you love me? How can you know to say, I don't know, I'm sorry. Oh, you love me or no love me? Don't love me. Do you understand? And this is something as in my relation. So for this reason, Peter is important for us, because he's challenging us. He's challenging us in our personal faith, in our personal, you know, the approach and answer to Lord every day, not only for a feast, but every day. St. Paul, also other, you know, important person for us, as you know, we know also his history, was persecutor of the church. He was tremendous, you know, what he did, how did he do this, you know, this change of his life. Saul, why you persecuted me? You know, in this revelation in Damascus. I was there on this place, wonderful place in the desert, more or less close to Damascus, in a small chapel. Wonderful place where, you know, from horse he cut down. And afterwards was this, you know, this all this, also his conversion. And afterwards he put his own life for Christ in everywhere, you know. And it was an important point because from Jewish, I can say, isolation of the faith in Semitic life to transform in Greek life, we can say in European life, the philosophical culture, philosophical background, what Christianity is living, thanks to God, even also here in the United States. You know, this richness of the Greek philosophy, and afterwards, later, yes, the Cappadocian fathers of Cappadocia were transformed, as you know, the definite, you know, truth of faith, creed, etc., Nicene Creed. But Paul was this example how to evangelize. That if we, one time, we know about Jesus Christ in our life, in our experience, we can't be in touch, we can't be in silence, we have to go and proclaim. And this is a problem today. You know, from, you know, to move, you know, to wake up. You know, this potential, what we have, the Holy Spirit, you know, with us, and to be witnesses. So this is a feast, you know, the St. Peter and Paul. We can, you know, continue, but, you know, we go, you know, the Holy Transfiguration. The feast, you know, what is it, August 6th, as you know, the revelation of Jesus, we can say, and we can, you know, speak about, you know, the feast of the monks. Why? Because, you know, this description of this, three of them, Jesus took three of them disciples, Peter, Jacob, and John, with him. So he was, you know, elected. We don't know why. He has our plan. And they make, you know, this ascesis, ascetic, you know, this ascending up. As you know, this monastic life, ascetic fasting, you know, prayers, you know, to make what is also we are invited, as you know, the Christian layman, the same. For what? To reveal them in the mountain Tabor his glory. Why? When they will saw him, you know, on the holy cross to suffer, do not lose the faith. That you see as a this revelation, glory of Lord of God is connected with suffering. So also maybe we are experiencing also maybe during this COVID, this time of the, you know, suffering, death, as you mentioned, you know, our close fathers, brothers, and etc. But is, you know, connected with glory of Lord. That we are invited this glory. After his resurrection, afterwards they understood what's happened. This revelation. Even they were so amazed that Peter didn't know what he's telling. Lord, we will build, you know, three tents. Interesting. Jesus is not answering him on this. What does it mean? That we are here on this world, we can't stop. We can't say, hey, it's good to us. No, heavenly kingdom is not here. It's starting here. But we can move. We can maybe to challenge. We have to hard work. We have to be, you know, in process. We can't to be lazy. And also for our salvation. So this is as a feast of the Transfiguration, which is important. And also, you know, to reveal and to God, you know, this light, uncreated light. Speaking, you know, the fathers. You know, this beauty of Lord in our life. And it should be nice. Now we are invited this to reach out this beauty of Lord. That Lord is really beautiful because the Creator is a Jesus who loves us. And we have to be attracted. We have to be, you know, to really attract by Him. And this is something what, you know, the sin, you know, all, you know, this enter time, you know, this world is taking us from this. It's a temptation. You know, devil is not sleeping. But we have to be, you know, we have to this desire to have to follow Lord every day. And last one, feast as a Dormition, as you know, is coming also, you know, the August 15th. Then also before this, we have the special, you know, the Lent fasting period from August 1st to August 14th, 2 weeks, also intensively preparation for this nice feast of the Dormition of the Lord, of the Mother of God, I'm sorry, that is for us example that Mother of God, as we are singing in the Vespers, in the feast, the source of life is laid in the grave, and her tomb becomes a ladder to heaven. So this, you know, this poetic, you know, description.
This imagery.
Imagery, yes. You know, as a symbolic, yes, is telling us this, the source of life. Why? Because she was Mother of Jesus Christ. And she was led in the grave. And her tomb becomes a ladder to heaven. And this is, again, simply, shortly to say, this feast is also a feast of the all humanity. Because we are invited through tomb, one time everyone has to, you know, to pass through tomb, to be for us a ladder to heaven, because we are invited by the Lord to be with him in eternal life. But this eternal life is going for sufferings, through cross, through humiliation, to through this ladder to come in heaven. So this may be shortly, you know, to explain maybe this wonderful feast what we have, this, you know, this summertime, and many, you know, for reflecting and contemplation, and also for encouragement in our Christian faith.
Yeah, they're beautiful feasts for us to think about during the summer, Saints Peter and Paul, the Transfiguration and the Assumption or the Dormition of the Blessed Mother. And Bishop, we're grateful that you've given this deep and thoughtful reflection to us. You're listening to Table Talk with His Grace Bishop Milan Lach. We're going to return for a final word and his blessing right after we take one final timeout. And we welcome you back to AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and the final moments of our special program, Table Talk. Our guest today, Bishop Milan Lach, a Jesuit, the Eparch of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. Bishop Milan, thank you so much for the many things we talked about today. With only about a minute and a half left, I wonder if you give us your final thought, blessing, and a prayer for us.
I would like to encourage everybody of you listeners really to live your spiritual Christian life. Don't hesitate you really to make small steps every day. To not live only say, okay, I'm going, you know, on Sunday, on the Holy Mass, on Divine Liturgy is enough. It's not enough. Are you eating once a week? Are you eating your lunch, wonderful lunch or wonderful dinner once a week? No. You are eating every day at least 3 times. So my question to you, challenging you, are you praying at least 3 times 1 minute? So this is a challenge. I would like to encourage you. Don't hesitate. Don't worry. Go. Go and work. Work on your salvation. Lord is close. And we have to, you know, we have to take responsibility for every day from our life. We don't know when Lord will invite us. So this may be, you know, for encouragement you. Also, you know, this wonderful time, the period, season of the, you know, the summertime here in Cleveland area, what is wonderful. I enjoy it, you know, with all this, you know, beautiful, you know, the weather. Even if it's raining, doesn't matter. But, you know, work, don't forget, because our salvation is close. So on the end of this, I would like to give you my blessing, apostolic blessing, and don't forget, pray for me and pray for your bishops and for your priest. We need your prayers. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His loving kindness, always, now and ever, and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Bishop Milan, thank you so much for being with us. You're always welcome here at AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Our thanks to our producer and engineer, Dan Dealey. And most of all, our thanks to you, our dear listeners, for joining us today here on AM 1260 The Rock for our special edition of Table Talk. Been my privilege, Dick Russ, to be your host. And we hope you'll continue to tune in to all of our wonderful programs 24 hours a day here on the radio station, on our app for your Android or your iPhone, and on our website, am1260therock.com. May God richly bless you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.